Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. I thank you for tuning in to the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and I and our supporters welcome you to this broadcast on CJMQ Radio. Today is Sunday the 17th of May. In the churches, this is the season of Ascension, a time when we remember that after 40 days of showing himself alive to his disciples, Jesus returned, or ascended, to heaven. Here are words from the Psalms. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. The psalmist said, "Sing praises to God our King, for the Lord Most High is awesome." How else, Lord, can we describe you as being anything other than awesome? Because there are no words in our limited vocabulary that do justice to the holy being of our God. And so today, in reverent awe, we come before you to praise you, for you rule over creation with love, compassion, and in gentle support for the most vulnerable and fragile of your creatures. We give you praise that we have a long history to know of your totally committed involvement with humanity and creation. We believe and affirm these things because you've shown us that this is the kind of God that you are in Jesus. For in him you became one with us and shared in our vulnerability and the frailty of our world. You absorbed into yourself all the violence and terror and fear and evil of the world and triumphed over them by resurrection. From the lives of saints and martyrs, and from so many ordinary people, all of whom are precious to you, we are taught to praise God with our singing and tell out melodies of praise and thanks to God. And so we ring out your glory, praise you with music, worship and bless your name. God of mercy, we confess the times when we forget you and are divided from one another, and how often our thoughts, words and actions betray your goodness and our calling. Forgive us, merciful God. Mend what is broken, heal our wounded relationships, and convert our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. While it is true that we have all fallen short in our call to follow Jesus, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through his grace. Let us remember the good news. In Jesus Christ by his cross, our sin is forgiven. Let us be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. Send your Holy Spirit to give us fresh understanding of your word in Scripture. Inspire us to respond with renewed commitment to follow Christ Jesus, your living word, we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the opening chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. There are a lot of people who do not know how to live without excitement, without stimulation. And whether it comes from pleasure or from crisis, they thrive on activity, on doing things, on solving problems. And the time that exists between one crisis or another, one activity or another, is regarded by them as dead time, as time that is lost, time that's unimportant, time that doesn't count. Today's scripture reading from the book of Acts tells us how the disciples found themselves in a similar situation. How they found themselves having to face a period in which they would simply have to wait for Christ's promise to them to come true. Now, we may say that we don't really face the situation that those disciples did, the time of dilemma, the time of in between, with Jesus gone and the Spirit not yet come. We live in the time of the Spirit. The promise has been realized. The Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. God is with us everywhere and always, as close as the breeze on our cheek. We're not really faced with the question of how to live in the in-between, in the time of waiting. But then again, sometimes we do face similar in-between times, don't we? God doesn't always feel as close as the breeze on our cheek. I know of one Pentecostal pastor, a minister of a congregation for whom the power of the Spirit was to be manifest in signs and wonders, praying, "Lord, we haven't seen a miracle from you recently." Our opening psalm and some of the church's hymns that we sing at this time of year proclaim the royal headship of Christ in God. Crown him with many crowns. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. Yet it seems we are still waiting, waiting for Jesus to show himself as the king that we believe he is, waiting for God to bring to an end all the evil and the sorrow and the suffering in the world. It seems in the meantime that he is, dare we say it, not king or sovereign. We find ourselves standing with those first disciples, gazing into the sky and thinking, Jesus, what now? And when God has closed off one chapter of our activity in the world and has not opened the next chapter, we're given a gift of a time out. So the first of three things for this morning. First, we need to remember that the times in between are meant to be active times, not passive times. Times in which we're meant to work at that which is at hand, rather than at that which is yet to come. When Jesus ascended into heaven before the eyes of his disciples to take his place as Lord at the right hand of God the Father, angels visited them and asked them, "Men of Israel, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you will come in the same manner as you saw him go into heaven." A Russian psychologist by the name of Pavlov, who pioneered the techniques of conditioning, did experiments with dogs. He first rang a bell and then a second later gave them some meat. And after doing this a few times, he rang the bell but did not give them the meat. And even though the dogs did not get the meat, they drooled, they salivated. Their whole system was geared to receiving meat when a bell rang. And the experiment proved what Pavlov wanted to prove, that animals, and indeed people, could be taught to automatically respond to key signals. But Pavlov finally ran into a problem. It seems that after a certain period of time, the dogs would not drool or salivate as he'd hoped. Instead, they would fall asleep. And they would do this because their attention was so firmly fixed on where the meat was supposed to come from after the bell rang that their entire nervous system would begin to shut down. They concentrated so much on what they were waiting for that they had no energy left to keep themselves awake. We are not dogs. Our attention is not to be focused so much on Christ's return or on the next thing that we want to have happen in our lives that we end up forgetting what else is going on, that we end up falling asleep on the job. In the in-between times, our eyes are meant to be fixed on the present moment that God has given us and what it is that God wants us to do with it and in it. Secondly, while they waited, they devoted themselves to prayer. In those times that we're called to live as Christ has shown us how to live, in obedience and in connection with the Father, we are called to prayer. There are many ways to prepare for what we believe God has for us next, but in the end, those who are seeking to do God's will and to see God's promises come true in their midst will find that prayer is of central importance. As Jesus told the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Prayer and devotion to the mind and will of God are of central importance because that is what prepares us for the life of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit himself who teaches us how to pray that allows us to be open to the power the Spirit bestows. And thirdly, in the times in between, we need to trust and have confidence that what has been promised to us by God will come to pass. Let us follow Peter's instructions to cast all our anxiety on God, because our adversary, the devil, even in the form of seemingly benign earthly temptations, can easily devour our good intentions, carrying us away from what we're called to do in this life. So with some prayer, discipline and faith, with the presence of God, Christ and the Holy Spirit, we too will be restored, supported and strengthened to do the work for which we were created and called. And in the time set by God, we the many will be raised in unity to live with the ascended Jesus. Blessed be God. To him be the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken.
Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you give strength to the weak, freedom to the prisoners, and an eternal home to the homeless. With the Son and the Spirit, you lived before the world existed, and all things were created from your love. Your Son, Jesus Christ, glorified you on earth by finishing your work and making you known to us as the only true God in whom we find eternal life. And when he was crucified, you raised him to new life. And when he ascended into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit, who fills us with your truth and power and protects us in the name of Christ so that we may be one as you are one. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus, promised that if he was lifted up, he would draw all folk to himself. Draw us to him by faith, so that we may live to serve you and look forward to life eternal. Loving and compassionate God, your Son, our Saviour, is with you in eternal glory. Give us faith to see that, true to his promise, he is among us still and will be with us to the end of time. God of the humble and homeless, the poor and the persecuted, thank you for exalting Christ Jesus and giving him a name above all other names. We rejoice that he was the meekest and weakest of all the earth, is at your right hand. And now we know that the Son of Man is more truly at home than anyone else on earth. We thank you for the glory you've granted him, and we remember before you now those who, like he was, are the least among us, the homeless in our world, the refugees and the poor, the victims of war, the little ones who have been left alone. Grant, Lord, that they may know your love in this world. God of the defeated and the lonely, the despised and the hungry, the misjudged and imprisoned, the suffering and the dying, We thank you for coming among us in Christ Jesus to reconcile and make new all of creation. We pray for those of your children who are in need, holding before you those known to us in our own lives, in our own families, in our own churches, even ourselves. Eternal Father, your Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord. Keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of his peace, that we might show the world the light that you want them to see. Bless your people with vision and faith, obedience and joy. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.